to see all of you here. I'm really touched, so fun to see everybody. When Kelly and Sarah asked me to do this, I realized that this was my third Zen Threads talk, and it just made me think about the passage of time, which I always find time-space sort of a interesting phenomenon. And I discovered in the last couple years, I've just been more pensive, observative too. I find I notice things more. The sun, the light, the plants, people. And I'm finding I'm doing my best to be more attentive to my relationships and to the world at large, just how I respond and how I interact. And I know that has come too from just the the Zen practice that has encompassed my last 17 years of my life, which is also sort of startling. I think the other thing that just startled me this year particularly was that I'll turn 70 this year. And I know everybody has different kind of like startling dates in their life. I just was startled by the fact that I was going to be 70, and being in that last third of my life. So not startling in a bad way, just like, how did we even get here? One of the neat things that last fall, Sarah had sent out some Japanese death poems in connection to a class. And I apologize, Sarah, that I can't remember the specifics around that. But one of them just sort of grabbed me. I just find it really beautiful and also very comforting, not depressing or anything. And it's, before long I shall be a ghost, but just now how they bite my flesh, the winds of autumn. And I just thought that was so beautiful. It really touched me. So I just have it on my refrigerator, and so I just read it all the time. The practice itself, I find, is subtle and can hit you over the head with a hammer, both. But it just tends to, it just sort of permeates me. And my life just changes. And then you don't know it's changing, and then you realize it's changing. It's just, I think, one of the interesting things about this practice. One thing I've also discovered is that I'm finding that meditation has become really a great place of solace for me, along with nature. And I'm finding that I meditate more at home and get here as much as I can, but I'm finding that a really important piece in my life. I'd done lots of meditation practices before, but the one that we do here was the one that set in my cells. So it's just a deep gratitude for having that. This practice is not easy, I find. Deeply challenging, but it seems like this path chose me, and I continue to choose this path. So we're hanging out together as best we can, and I wouldn't have it any other way, even with all the challenges that it brings to my life. One thing I just, I read a lot, and I read a lot of fiction, too, in addition to all our sutra studies and everything. And because of the sutra studies and the chants, and I found it intriguing and fun that I'll run across different passages if I'm reading a novel or something, and I'll go, oh my gosh, that reminds me of the Heart Sutra, or it reminds me of one little line from a koan or something. And so I just wanted to read one of the books I read, just finished last week. It just had this really lovely passage. And it's from a book called Soul of the Border by Matteo Righetto, an Italian writer. And so in the passage, it's, in this life, everything is nothing. Prey and predators, souls that flee, and other souls that pursue, souls that die, and souls that kill. Everything is nothing, like clouds that form, and a moment later are no more. So we just, so just things like that happen to me a lot. or, you know, or I'll see something, a movie on TV that just again reminds me of a piece from our practice. And I just find that really lovely how this is just, it just sort of infuses your life in such subtle ways. And then you have these little bright ahas that happen. And I'm lucky enough to have, to get those every once in a while of like, oh my gosh, that's what that means. So, and I guess the other thing I would just touch on are koans. And I find koans are an enigma to me. and as I was thinking about this talk and just the koans, and they feel like a two sides of one coin. And so one side, I don't find koan, the interactions, the meeting of a koan in my life, it's not a pleasant thing. And I say that with great humor, because on the other side of the coin, there's this thing, the koans have this way of digging in and through all these wonderfully crafted walls I've created to protect myself over the decades. And they just, and because of that digging, that, you know, they're very persistent. That's, for me, that's where it becomes unpleasant. But within that, there is a huge release and freeing of old habits of mind. So they have given me and continue to give me just incredible awareness of where I protect and where I block and how I hide. And they really ask me to reveal my true self. And I guess that's why I would say they're beautifully unpleasant. Might be a better way to put it. But again, one of those things I never would have encountered without coming into this Zen practice. And when I came in and started with the group, it was just probably the best way to start, just total naive innocence of like, well, never done this, let's just try this one. And just entered into it just, I think, about a few months after Pete.
I thought you were here first.
Well, maybe I was. But it was just, you know, just all these things have just sort of bubbled up a lot because we've been working on the Heart Sutra too. But I remember when I first chanted the Heart Sutra, it was just like, well, this makes no sense. But I really love the rhythm of the words. And it just seemed really beautiful. And I you know, it took me years to go, oh, that's what that is. And that, so, you know, you just sort of, but I think just again, with all the practice, all the teachings, understanding that it's not a brain thing, it's truly a mind heart. It's like a cellular reception of what it is. And so it's just, it's just been really interesting and lovely to have all of you too within this practice of my life. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. So thank you.